Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. In this Perek, Yechezkel will continue to address the people who he mentions at the end of the last Perek, the Nevi'ei Sheker, the false prophets. We find throughout Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yirmiyahu that the false prophets, the Nevi'ei Sheker, are at the root of the Jewish people's dismissiveness of the true Navi's messages. During scary times, people want reassurances, and this is what happened during the upheavals preceding the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. People were looking to be comforted. It was far easier to believe the assurances of charlatans whose rhetoric was dressed up to feel like authentic prophecy than for the people to introspect and change because of the words of the true Nevi'im. The false prophets didn't satisfy themselves by promoting their own false ideas. They actively sought to negate and silence the true Nevi'im. Yechezkel describes the Nevi'ei Sheker in Pasuk Beis, verse 2, as Nevi'ei Milibam, prophets who speak from their heart. These orators would not look to the Torah or sages for guidance. They would rely on their own instincts and self-promoting agendas to guide their messages. Choosing leaders and guides is a timeless issue. In modern culture, we also struggle with who to listen to, who are our influencers, and how do we distinguish between those who are self-promoting and those who are sincere. The lessons in this parak are relevant to us as well. In this parak, Yechezkel will address two groups of Nevi'im. From Psukim Aleph to Tesvav 1 to 16, he talks to Nevi'ei Sheker, male charlatans, about the damage they have done with their inauthentic messages and how Hashem will respond. In Yud Zayin through Chaf Gimel 17 to 23, Yechezkel addresses the Nevi'os, the false women prophets. Hashem explains his goal for punishing and exposing the Nevi'ei Sheker. It is so that these false prophets and the nation will know that Hashem is the one who is truly in charge. When speaking to Nevi'ei Sheker, Yechezkel will bring two mashalim that demonstrate why they are so corrupt. He first compares the Nevi'im to foxes prowling in ruins. Rather than defending the Jewish people, they will flee at the first sign of conflict. Next, he will compare their work to a contractor who builds subpar construction with poor materials that will crumble at the first incident of bad weather. Next, Yechezkel turns to the women false prophets who act like fortune tellers and scare the righteous with their negative premonitions and calm the wicked with their positive fortune telling. Let's look at the Pesukim to understand what we can learn from the text itself. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Hashem tells Yechezkel to speak to these prophets who are prophesying. He calls them Nevi'ei Milibam, to those who prophesy from their hearts. They listen to their instinct and own thoughts to form their spiritual messages. This is a dangerous method prone to errors for anyone who chooses to formulate their philosophical path independently without input from Torah or Torah scholars. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Hoy al hanevi'im hanivalim, woe unto these vile prophets. How tragic are these individuals. Asher hochim achar rucham, who follow their own spirit, who speak from their imagination and self-interest rather than from a source of truth. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. The Navi compares the false prophets to shu'alim b'charavos, foxes who enter ruins, and say they are not like those described in Pasuk Hay, verse 5. The people described in Pasuk Hay show true leadership and they care about the people around them. Lo alisim b'paratzos, you have not gone up in the breaches. V'tigzeru gader al beis Yisrael, nor have you made fences for the house of Israel. La'amod b'lchama b'yom Hashem, to stand in battle in the day of Hashem. By comparing the Nevi'ei Sheker to foxes and contrasting them with true leaders, Yechezkel is highlighting their cowardice. A fox will sneak in through holes in a garden to prowl around as if they own the place. However, when a person walks through the door, the foxes lose their boldness and scurry off to safety. In contrast, when a true leader of Hashem enters a place, he checks the walls for damages to make sure the area is protected. If there is a breach in the wall, rather than exploiting it to sneak around or to escape, he stands there and patches it up to help everyone. If danger comes before he can repair a breach, he fights to protect the people in the area rather than abandoning it. Like foxes, the Nevi'ei Sheker acted with confidence around their community. At first, the first sign of trouble, though, when they were confronted or when it was politically challenging, they changed their message. In contrast, true Nevi'im like Moshe and Yirmiyahu focus on helping the Jewish people no matter what. They try to fix the issues causing problems and bravely address them directly, even though it was uncomfortable, unpopular, and even risky. They stood in the breaches when necessary to defend the Jewish people to Hashem or by praying for them. The Ambar Benel and Malbim point out another distinction shared by foxes and Nevi'i Sheker. Foxes only prowl abandoned, broken down areas. They are not found in well-guarded, well-maintained homes or properties. It is also to their advantage to have broken down areas rather than reinforced gates. For them, it's easier to break into and to escape from. Likewise, the Nevi'i Sheker only show up when the nation is weaker and the spiritual level of the nation is chaotic. The false prophets didn't dare come forward during the time of David or Shlomo. They take advantage of the nation at risk for their own benefit. It benefits them to have the nation on a weaker spiritual level because then they gain power. In contrast, the true leaders of Klal Yisrael look at the spiritual breaches and try to get the nation to do tshuva and repair those weaknesses so that the nation will again be strong, even if, by doing so, it means that the prophets will then have less power and prestige because everyone will be on a higher spiritual level. In the next psukim, Yechezkel continues to describe the falseness and futility of these Nevi'i Sheker, who not only gave the people false hope, but as it describes in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, they also sank to divination and sorcery. The false prophets dissuaded the nation from doing tshuva or from compromising with Bavel, which led to unnecessary death. As a result, Hashem will focus on them to give them what they deserve and pay them back for their evil deeds. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, tells us of the three-part punishment. Number 1, Besod Ami Lo Yehiyu, they shall not be part of my people. The word sod can either mean a group or a secret. In this case, the pasuk means that they will not be included as part of Ka'am Yisrael. Number 2, Ubechsav Beis Yisrael Lo Yikasevu, they won't be written in the log of the family of Israel. This means that they will not be written in the book of eternal life for a life in Olam Haba. And finally, number 3, the third punishment is they'll add Admas Yisrael Lo Yava'u, to the land of Israel they will not come. At the time of redemption, when everyone else is returning to the land of Israel, they will not be included in their salvation. In Pasuk Yod, verse 10, Yechezkel turns to another metaphor, that of faulty construction, to explain the deep problems that occur with these Nevi'im. Yan uvian, because and it began because, meaning the punishment is just for so many reasons. Hitu esami, lemar, shalom, vein shalom. They have led my people astray, saying peace, but there is no peace. They have given the people false hope and false assurances, which will lead to greater problems. V'hu bonachayetz, it's as if he is building up a slight wall. The pasuk now brings a mashal to illustrate why this behavior is problematic. This is like a chayetz, a wall which is made up of stones, but that doesn't have any mortar that holds it together. It's a decorative wall, but not very functional. The person who's building this wall tries to hide this fact. Mihinam tachim oso tafel. They daub it with white plaster. They make the wall like a movie set. It has no reinforcements, but looks good on the outside. The Nevi'i Sheker are creating an illusion with their positive words and false promises, that just as this builder is creating the appearance of a strong wall, which in reality is very weak. Pesukim Yud Aleph through Tes Zion, verses 10 through 16. Hashem carries this analogy one step further. This wall is ready to fall on its own. It has no standing power. It doesn't have any way that it's going to survive basic wear and tear. However, Hashem is about to unleash the powers of nature in the world. There's going to be driving rains, stormy winds, hailstones, and this wall will surely be demolished in these events. When this happens, people will ask, what good was the wall to begin with? Why did they bother making a wall that was looked good on the outside, but was fake on the inside? The wall will be destroyed to its foundation, and the Nevi'i Sheker will have an appropriate end. Pasuk Yadalid, verse 14. V'nafla uchlitzem v'socha, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem. And when the wall will fall, and you, meaning the Nevi'i Sheker, are consumed by it, you will know that I am Hashem. In Pasuk Tes Zion, verse 16, Yechezkel provides the explanation for what this wall is referring to. Nevi'i Yisrael hanibam al Yerushalayim v'achozim la shalom v'ein shalom. This parable of a wall that was unsustainable and was inauthentic and was there to fool the people was really talking about the prophets of Yisrael who spoke about Yerushalayim and said they had visions of peace, but there truly was no peace and there were no visions. Pasuk Zion, verse 17, now turns to the false Nevi'im's counterparts, the women who were doing sorcery and foretelling falsehood. Sim panecha el benos amcha. Set your face against the daughters of your people. Like the false prophets had done, these women shared insights as if they were from Hashem, but they were really milipen from their hearts, from their own thoughts and ideas. In contrast to the Nevi'ei Sheker, who spoke about national peace and security, the women spoke to individuals about their personal future. Hoy lemisparot, lemisapros, kisasos, al kol atzila yadai. Woe to those who sew cushions upon all armpits or elbows, vosos hamispachos al rosh kol koma, and who make wraps for the heads of all the people. In some form and for some purpose, the sorceresses would attach cushions to the armpits and scarves to the head as part of their fortune-telling procedure. The goal of it was litzodeid nefashos, to trap souls. These sorceresses would trap the righteous in their services by telling them terrible fortunes without being asked. It would scare the tzaddikim, so they would keep seeking guidance and reassurance from the woman, and they would need to pay to keep hearing their reports. If people paid them, they were given a good report. If they didn't pay them, they got a bad report and would be scared so that they would pay them. Everything was for profit. They didn't care what it did to people's souls as long as they made money. Pasuk Yitzchak, verse 19 tells us, V'techallelana osi el ami. You have profaned me to my nation. By making people reliant on fortune-telling rather than on prayer or good deeds or Torah learning, they were creating a monumental chilul Hashem. People no longer trusted Hashem, and they put their reliance on the fortune teller rather than on Hashem. They looked to the fortune teller to plan and control their future. How did they control their future? With handfuls of barley and with small pieces of bread. According to the Abarbanel, the work was done by throwing barley and crumbs on the ground, and based on how the grains fell, the fortune teller would make predictions. Alternatively, they would trap their clients and profane Hashem's name for even the smallest amount of payment, even a few crumbs of bread and a few grains of barley. The goal in all of this was l'hamis nefashos asher lo tmusena, to kill the souls that should not die, meaning they were telling the tzaddikim who wouldn't die that a bad report so that they would be trapped, u'l'chayos nefashos asher lo sachyena, and to make alive the souls that shouldn't live, meaning they would tell the Rasha'im good reports so they would keep paying them money and keep being associated with his sorceresses. B'chazavchem la'ami shomei chazav. When you lie to a nation, who listen to lies. These sorceresses lied to the nation, but the people themselves were open to listening to the lies. They made themselves vulnerable to these women who were manipulative. They made themselves available to be tricked because they would rather be listening to the sorceresses than actually introspecting and listening to the Nevi'ei Emes. Hashem tells these women in the Pesukim Chaf through Chaf Gimel 20-23 what is coming in their future and repeats why he is doing this. Hashem will tear away their pillows from their arms, meaning he will take away their business opportunities and their ability to do the fortune-telling. By them not being able to do the fortune-telling, this will pry away the victims from the influence of these women, which in turn will save the participants from the sin of doing magic, which is in itself a Torah prohibition. The Navi mentions that the women will be punished because they caused unnecessary pain to tzaddikim with their bad reports that were only negative because the tzaddikim wouldn't pay them money. Conversely, the women gave the Rasha'im good reports, which calmed them down and stopped them from doing tshuva. The results of these punishments that the women will face will be V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, something that we've heard repeatedly in the Prakim and Yecheskel. The goal of this is so that, in this case, the sorceresses will know that I am Hashem. They will know that Hashem is truly the one who is all-powerful. Their words have no actual influence on the future. In this parak, we have seen two kinds of false prophets. They both work for their own self-interest and deliver imaginative and false prophecies to the people to manipulate and control them. The male prophets focus on political life to encourage the nation to maintain its nationalistic fervor and not to negotiate or listen to its prophets. They rile people up, but don't do the hard work of helping people or solving problems. They are like the foxes. The female prophets manipulate people by taking advantage of the gullibility of the sincere and by flattering the wicked. They are doing this so they can make money. These false leaders and false influencers have been allowed to flourish unchecked. Hashem tells them in this perek that their day of judgment is coming. For myself, I found there was a lot of important lessons in this perek for me to think about. First, I need to introspect as to who I allow to guide me and influence me. I'm living in an era of social media, of influencers, of WhatsApp groups. I need to think critically about whether the people I am listening to are altruistic or if they have a hidden agenda. Do they gain somehow from my paying attention to what they're saying? Are they creating hysteria to stir the masses? Are they placating people when action is needed? If people profit from attention in some way, then their motives must be questioned, and I need to be careful. If they are not clear about how they are benefiting and they try to hide that, I need to be even more suspect. As the Pasuk says, "Bechazavchem la'ami shomea chazav," when you lie to my people who listen to lies. People who are willing to ignore dishonesty are party to when they are fooled. There is a description of who to follow in this parak as well. True leaders don't run away, nor do they exploit problems. They jump in, they try to repair things, they get their hands dirty, and they do the grunt work of making things happen. They may critique problems, but their criticism is not their focus. They focus on the solutions. They will also pray, do good deeds, and beseech Hashem to save people from their troubles. They truly care for the people who they are serving. It is not enough for us to choose to be good leaders. Each of us leads others in our own lives, whether at work, at home, or by what we post in social media and in the public sphere. We need to choose to be the kind of leader who acts, protects, fixes, and works, rather than the leader who flatters, lies, self-promotes, and criticizes good people who are easy targets while ignoring bad people because it's too difficult. This kind of self-awareness is challenging work, but it is the work that this parak is calling us to do. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.